Blog Talk Radio. Revolution Radio. This is Dr. Kim's Revolution Radio, the mysterious show that should have been on Wednesday nights for the last year, but has not been. I am joined this evening with my friend and colleague and host of the show Walls in Our Minds, Terry Dodd. Terry, good evening.
Good evening, Dr. K.
How are you this evening?
I'm just doing stellar. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's been an interesting day, very, very busy. And before we get into our show...
You know, I don't know if I've got a lousy Skype connection or what it is, but you're kind of popping in and out. It might be me.
How my Skype connection looks. Well, supposedly okay. Are you all right? Are you there?
I hear you better now.
Okay, very good. Could you open
Could
us
you
in prayer? Yes.
I'd be glad to. Thank you.
Thank you.
Almighty Father, we just come to you tonight, and we're thankful that Dr. Kate's getting back onto the radio and bringing the message to these listeners. And we ask you to bless this show. Bless Dr. Kate and bless these listeners, and we just pray that we bring a message to them tonight that that would glorify you, because that's really what we want to do, Father. We ask your spirit to be with us and take control. It's in the name of your Son, our Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Terry, very much. And praise the Lord for what we have available to us in getting the word out. I just wanted to reintroduce listeners, if we have any who've not listened to our show for a long time, or at least my part of the show, to what I've been doing and why I've been away. I recently moved, well, recently in the last year and a half, and am working on a very intensive project here that has to do with water. And in one of the first things that I saw about coming up here is the spiritual aspects of the battle that we're in here now. And given the fact that most of our situations are David and Goliath, the only way we have had success in the past is to... in the past and now, is to make sure that we are always conscious of and under the direction, if you would say, under the new management, under the management of our Father. And so that is part of why I'm coming back online right now, is because I think the message for me has changed quite a bit. And certainly how I see things, it's we've been talking about the Constitution and what we face in the politics, but I just really believe that this is Satan's doing. What we're facing is a spiritual battle. It has all these different components of it that we work on and we create our record in, but we can never forget what this really is. And so with that in mind, I'm going to be broadcasting every other Tuesday evening for an hour and a half. Sometimes you'll just get music, sometimes you'll get guests and other commentary, but I intend to try to keep it spiritual focus, if you will, on the battles that we are facing right now. And so in that regard, I'm happy that Terry Dodd is with me right now, because I know he feels the same way and is undertaking many different things also from that perspective. And I'd like to, while I can, offer him the floor to both comment on what I see as a spiritual battle right now. And I know you see that as well. And then to kind of give us an update on how you have branched out and what areas are that you're working on that we may learn from, and why, and how they connect to our spiritual battle.
Well, that's you just opened Pandora's box there, Kim.
I know, but I always do that with you, Terry.
You know, throughout time, there's always been, from time to time, people had a sense that the end times were coming. And so they've always thought, you know, that they've looked at things around them and they've seen troubles and they've seen an earthquake here or volcano there or something going on that was creating some stress in their life. And they tended to look to Scripture and think that, well, we're approaching those end times. There's been blood moons before. There's been solar eclipses and all of these things that you find in Scripture that Yahshua Jesus put in there and made statements about would be happening before his coming. Well, I think today is a bit unusual. It seems to be a consensus everywhere you turn. Everybody's expecting catastrophe in so many different ways because that we see the corruption that has really brought our federation down. People don't think of a United States the way they used to, and I mean the people inside the United States, and the people outside, I think, seem to be as worried or more worried about us than we are. So there's been this kind of like a little bit of a pressure increase for me in that not only do I see Satan's time is short, but I believe our time is short too, because we only have a limited amount of time, I believe, to wake people up, to get the truth out there, to do our part in this spiritual battle. And my focus has been trying to get to a place where I can really do a lot more teaching. We've been trying to figure out what is it that people are wanting to hear. What will get people to come and listen and to spend the time in a class or listening to a show like this? Well, what is it that's going to get their attention? Because we don't have access to major media. We don't have access to the top 25 news prints or cable TV, because the enemy really controls all of that, and it was by design. They planned a long time ago that they were going to take control of those things. So we turned to venues like this, and this is a great venue. I mean, you know, it's worldwide. Anybody can get on their computer and listen to it, but what will make them sit here and listen for an hour and a half or 2 hours to us talking about what we think is important? One of the things that seems to be attracting a lot of people is this concept of common law. And why do we turn to common law for considering the fact that we're in a spiritual battle? What's the point of bringing forward common law? I mean, everybody thinks of law as being the courts and the judiciary and things like that. But the fact of the matter is that this pecking order that we've talked about so much is really all about common law. The Creator gave us our unalienable rights. The Creator gave the power to the people. The Creator helped us put constitutions into place. And all of those elements, a natural law, Yahweh's law, the law of the people, that's the common law. And that is an establishment of that pecking order. Well, I find it interesting that people, whether they are aware of the spiritual battle or not, seem to be very interested in defending their unalienable rights or their assets against this monster that we've got now that's our government. So they're beginning, they recognize that the common law is a means for them to get their power back and stop being so enslaved. And so right now we've been focusing a lot on common law because it simply gets people's attention. They're going to show up. They're going to seek us out and listen to what we've got to say. So it's just a tool, if you will. It is a good tool for them to defend themselves against this monster, but it also is a tool for us to reach people. And so that's kind of been where our focus has been of late, on Walls in Our Minds. You know, we've done a number of shows on common law, and we're going to continue that. But we're also going to take that on the road, and we're working on a series of lectures. And I'm mixing in the things like sound money and sacred name studies and calendar fraud and all these other things that I believe is beginning to be brought out of Scripture in these latter days. You see in Scripture about latter rain, in that the Spirit's going, as all of these tribulations, as these trials, as these difficulties increase on people, so will the Spirit in those who seek it. So I believe that some of these things are beginning to come out for the first time, just like I sent you the Hallelujah Scriptures. I hope you're still benefiting from that. But
I am.
So does that answer your question?
Yes, it does, and it provides an avenue to open up some new issues, of course. I think the thing that intrigues me about common law as well is that it's based on the Constitution, and then that is then based on the Scripture. And nowadays we can look to various news organizations and outlets for quote unquote, what is going on, but one of the easiest things to do is to look in the Bible. It's almost like a current day reading of the tribulations that we are under right now. And in that regard, it's a very grounding thing. People can understand Scripture. People know about the basic Constitution and want to find a way to get back there. But the Tea Parties and these other, I'm not calling them false patriots, but other false patriot attempts, if you will, don't seem to get down to the basic aspects of common law. And the other thing that intrigues me about it is that it's practical. It's something that can be done. It's almost unheard of in our government today, but it's very, very practical. So in that regard, and the need to do the teaching and getting this out, let me ask you, what is the biggest obstacle that you're finding to this work, both on the radio and what you do in your workshops, which, by the way, we hope to have you here when you are able to come around to do a number of workshops up in this area. But what do you find is an obstacle, and what would you say is a way to get around it?
I tried to cut short what I said last time, answering the last question. This one's going to be a challenge too. There's two big challenges that I see. One is that all of us have been so dumbed down and misled and given such a bunch of false information, is the best way I can put it, regarding common law. It is a misunderstood subject. it requires a good amount of study and digging, because it's not readily available out there. That's one of the reasons why we're working so hard at putting together a good curriculum for people. The people that are out there that have been practicing it and have been trying to teach some people have not really been educators. They're not really they don't have a slick, easy system for somebody to go to where in a few hours of study you can pick up all this stuff. You gotta put a lot of hours and a lot of time into this right now in order to come up with the real jewels, the gems, if you will. You also have to understand very clearly what the enemy's game is, particularly in the judiciary and the bar association. When you walk into court, our courts have been occupied by non-common law people who do not want you to know about the common law. They don't teach it in the law schools to people. I know one attorney that went over to England, to London, and studied British common law, and even that wasn't really a thorough education, because he's been on the phone with us a few times, and he's like, wow, you guys have got a much better grasp on this than I did, and I went over there to study it. So it is a challenge to grasp this because of all the disinformation out there, and there are these false patriots out there, whether they're willing false patriots or not, that are giving people really, really bad information. And in just a moment, I'll give you an example of that. But to start with, so many people out there in the patriot movement, in the freedom movement, have this concept in their head that what common law means is that we're the people and we can do anything we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's folly. That is putting people where they're wasting their assets, wasting their times, and putting them in a position to go to jail.
That's correct.
And now I'm going to give you an example. There's a guy down in Florida. His name is Terry something. It's like Russell or something like that. I forget exactly what his last name is. I could look it up. But he's like the NLA, which is the National Liberty Alliance, director in the state of Florida, is what I understand. And he's in Dixie County, Florida. This guy has been down there telling people that, you know, they can form their own grand juries without the auspices of a court. Just all the same stuff that I'm sorry to say, Hagan Smith, who you and I, you know, have been acquainted mm-hmm. with in the past. He's out there pushing it now, along with John Durash, who's the head guy there at National Liberty Alliance. And this guy manages to get called in for a real, properly seated grand jury, and gets himself appointed as the foreman of that jury. The prosecuting attorney, in classic unconstitutional style, tries to control that jury and would not let that foreman, acting as a foreman, pursue the things that the jury wanted to do. He's like saying, this is my jury, which is false. Once a grand jury is properly seated, that prosecuting attorney is supposed to provide them with oversight and with counsel, but he's not supposed to direct them. He's not supposed to control that jury. It got to be such a battle between this prosecuting attorney and this fellow who, you know, thinks he knows the common law, that he disbanded. Instead of standing his ground and keeping the authority that he had been given, he disbanded the jury and starts trying to write common law grand jury, what he calls common law grand jury, orders against these people. And now they have filed charges against him, and he could face up to 50 years in prison.
Holy cow.
Because of what he's done. And here he is, and I would give anything to have been in that position, to have been in a grand jury where we could actually go and pursue investigations of things that need to be investigated. I would have had the authority to tell that prosecuting attorney to get his butt out of there and leave us alone, and I could have gone to the court and done it. And this guy turns around and gives up. He sacrifices all of that authority that he had, operating under the auspices of the court, where he had full subpoena power, And he disbands that and gets himself prosecuted. Just stupid.
Well, was that, go ahead.
You ask the question, what's the obstacle? We've got these people out there that don't know what they're doing, that think they can just go out there and do anything they want to do, and they're not willing to actually recognize that the people are the ones that put these grand juries in place. The people are who put these legislators in place. You can't go out there and usurp a legislated institution and act out of rebellion and insurrection and think that you have the power, because you're the people, to do anything you want to do without consequences. It's just stupid.
Definitely. And then it just turns people off to the whole concept, because they don't want to get, they don't want to, you know, people who are equally ignorant don't want to get in that position. And I would say from a spiritual perspective, is, you know, it's just a willing blindness, but perhaps relying on oneself too much in terms of, yes, in terms of saying that I know what's right, rather than even admitting you may not and seeking higher guidance. Is that one of the issues too?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. A lot of these folks in the Patriot Movement do not want to face or talk about or address in any way the spiritual battle. They run from it because they're afraid that it's going to offend somebody or turn somebody off. They want to be all inclusive of the people in the Patriot Movement, and they're not willing to acknowledge the power of Yahweh and Yahshua, and they're not willing, they want to keep that power for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're not
mm-hmm.
willing to surrender a spiritual power.
That is very interesting, because, you know, there, you know how I, you know what my educational background is, and it took me a long time to realize that it was not me who was smart. It was God working through me. That's been a turning point in my whole life, just because every gift that we have is from Him, every gift, and even the power of discernment and those things. And it seems like what we do is we rely on ourselves too much and just fail to see what the bigger issue is.
And they get just so stuck in their ways, and they're stubborn. They're really stubborn. So we're having to look at people who have got ears. You know, if they don't,
that's right.
If they're not willing to acknowledge that we're under judgment in this federation, if they're not willing to acknowledge that we're in a spiritual battle, I've gotten to a point where I just don't even hardly have time for them anymore.
Yep,
it's just not worth it.
It's getting very clear who those people are. And it relates to as well what you mentioned at the beginning in terms of, you know, the times that we're in right now. A lot of people have thought, oh, these, you know, this kind of thing happens all the time. You know, it's happened throughout history. So we're not in the end times. And people like that sort of use the fact that we are in the end times to sort of act out that way, as if they have the only solution, when they don't. And so the teaching, as you said, right now, our time is short to do the teaching. And it looks like this guy blew his opportunity to really, really provide some instruction. And then that sets all of us back.
Exactly. In many ways, in more ways than one, it sets us back. And I've been telling people that within L.A. They just, you know, there's so many people out there that are looking for an answer. They're looking for the silver bullet. And the other thing is the fraud that they're committing. That particular group is going out with a handful of people and claiming to be reconstituting these grand juries in counties all over the place. Like in Colorado, for example, we've got like 65 counties, and there's only a dozen people that have gone out there, and they've claimed to have reconstituted all 65 counties, yet there's only 12 people. I mean, you got to have people that live, that are domiciled in those counties in order to reconstitute, and they just go out there and have a meeting and elect themselves, and it's like, well, you know, I don't care whether I know anybody down in Archuleta County or not, I'm going to reconstitute that county. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's absurd what they're doing.
So then we have those. Well, maybe a year ago we were talking about this sovereign citizen movement, and I can't remember the various names of people, but there was there were supposedly the subpoenas and everything issued to, or court orders issued to, you know, the governors and so forth and so on. And then we found that there were infiltrators in that movement. So I guess what I'm saying is that there's been so much misinformation and disinformation that unless one can get at the real truth and things that, that you and Gus and others are beginning to present in terms of common law, it's just a mass of confusion, and we know who the father of confusion is.
See, the other thing is people have been deceived about, Kate, is that they've been convinced that the courts will not allow common law. That's false. They've been led to believe that the courts are admiralty courts, that they're contract courts or UCC courts or corporate courts, but the courts themselves are set up in a way that does not provide for common law. And what's actually been happening is that people have lost the ability. They've been dumbed down and no longer trained to know how to bring a case of their own claim into a court of record under common law. And to get them to recognize how to go about that, their initial tendency is to say, I'm a sovereign, I'm a free man. Well, you go in there with that attitude and you are going to get burned. You are going to get fried. You're not going to be able to bring your common law case in there because you're saying things that are simply flags to these people that really don't represent your authority and power as a man operating under common law. The other thing is that they get caught up in wanting to learn or talk about statutes or this case or that case. Well, a man under common law does not have to go in there and understand legalese. And if you go in there and try to play the lawyer game, you're going to get burned because they know that game much better than you do. And for the most part, it's a trap to pull you out of common law. So there's all this huge misconception. Operating under common law becomes it's really a matter of simplifying things, bringing it down to its basic elements, and knowing how not to get trapped into their corporate legal fiction game. And if you know how to prepare, you know how to write your case or your brief coming in, your claim coming in, and putting it in writing and putting that court on notice in writing that you are coming in there under common law and that you are acting as a man and that you are not the legal fiction that they've tried to make us into. It is a very simple process as long as you know a few basic things to do, but more importantly, you know what not to do. And these folks are so entrenched in what they've been led to believe that getting them to learn when to shut up and when to not say certain things is a great challenge. Mm-hmm. But the people that are getting it and are using it, I'll tell you one of the places where it's really come into play, and you know as well as I do that Child Protective Services has been a major tool for attacking, you know, men and women in the freedom movement and patriots. They've attacked them through Child Protective Services. They started out trying to do Schaefer Cox that way, but they've done it to a number of people. Well, by using common law, a man can go into a court and file a claim stating that they have stolen his property. And if he will stand on that claim and not let them con him out of it, they've been able to get their kids back. This has been a huge victory and a demonstration of how effective common law is if you know how to use it. The people that have done what Carl Lentz, for example, has instructed them to do, and they've gone in and they've made their claim, they have inevitably gotten their kids back, and quickly. They might have been fighting a battle for a couple of years where the kids have been taken from them 2 years ago, and they've gone in and done what he's told them to do, and they have gotten their kids back. They've called their kids property because they are their property. They are the result of their production. I can say to my wife, "You're my property," and she'll say, "Yes, I am." And she'll say, "Are you my property?" "Yes, I am. I am your property." We can say to our children, instead of calling them children, which is a term under a legal fiction, you say, "They are my property." And you say, "I have a right to my property. I am a man. I don't know your legalese. I'm not required to know your legalese. I don't speak to computers. And if somebody's got a claim against me, the only one that can bring a claim against me is another man. And if these guys in that courtroom are all legal fictions and they're not willing to act as men, then they have no authority over me whatsoever, even in that court." So this is what common law is really about, is about the authority and power of a man. A man created the Constitution. Man and woman created the Constitution. So we are above that Constitution. The Constitution created that government. Therefore, the Constitution is above that government. The courts and stuff were created actually out of the governments. So we as a man, unless we have injured another man, unless we have sinned against that other man, if you will, unless we've stolen something from him, or whether it be his health or his child or his donkey or his whatever, unless we've injured that other man, they have no claim over us whatsoever. If there's no victim, there is no crime in common law.
And so
absolutely.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, that's all right.
Well, then I was just going to not exactly switch topics, but expand that to, that is the way to get a lodeal title then to your land.
Yes. Yes.
Is through common law, because there again,
it really is
property.
It is a common law action. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I know we have some people here who are working on that and trying to get folks into lodeal title, but I'm wondering if that is also another aspect of your workshop when you come up here that would be something to include.
It is, and I've actually been authorized through my buddy down in Texas, who has provided me with his documents, which are very simple documents. Basically, it's affidavits and what he published in the paper and what he recorded. And I've been given permission to pass that out for people to utilize as a basis for doing their own thing on this. And we've done shows now on the allodial title, and I've got the documents to go with it, and would be glad to talk to people about that. I have a few other ideas on that I believe that I can expand on what has been done a little bit. Like, for example, you're going to need to go back to the original patent for your property to get the proper description of it, but you're also going to need to establish it, that chain of title. And the way that the title companies have done things, the way the states have and the attorneys have structured these documents, these transfer deeds are not accepted. They're only granted but never accepted. So you really have not accepted ownership until you formally accept that conveyance of title to you. So you really need to go back and accept each one of the conveyances, since you are in fact an heir, a successor in interest to all of those previous owners. You have the authority and power to go back and formally record an acceptance of each one of those conveyances and bring it all the way up to yourself.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
It sure does. You know, of course, that's going to be a very keen interest here where we have Indian reservation and all kinds of title issues totally messed up by the United States. And it should provide some clarity for everyone here because people are beginning to understand this whole concept of reservations and Indian sovereignty and all of that stuff is really beginning to show what it is. Now, let me just move on because I know you're involved in a number of other things that build out of your spiritual base, and I wanted to just ask you quickly about Schaefer Cox and your activities there and how you see that turning out as much as you can share.
Well, as you fully are aware, he got railroaded really bad, and it's a shame that even the attorney that represented him on the federal cases, the guy that represented him on the state cases, were trying to get him back active in the appeal process, and the group that I've been working with is kind of an advisory council, if you will. We've brought in Eberle, which is a fundraising group that they're starting to work now to put letters out to their list to try to raise the funds that are necessary to effectively fight Schaefer's appeal. There is a request for extension of time on that appeal right now. As you know, he's in the communications management unit up in Marion, Illinois, which is not a very pleasant prison to be in. Not that any of them are, but this one's especially bad because they've got a lot of these Islamic domestic terrorists and people like that they put in that particular one. So they've done everything they could to break his business, his family. They've rendered him in a very weak financial position, obviously. The attorney that represented him in the federal case was literally shaking in court, according to the witnesses that saw him. He was afraid to bring the case against the government, which in this case they were completely guilty of gross, what's the term, when you give false witness, exactly, gross false witness on their part. They had criminals that they brought in that were serving their own benefit by lying about Schaefer. They were the ones that were actually guilty of the things they accused him of. It's just, and of course, his family has been through the mill. His family is scared to death. They've been so intimidated by the government that they believe at this point that almost trying to help him, or if he fights it, that it's just going to make it worse on him. So there's a great amount of fear and they're just not willing to do what's really necessary at this point because they've been convinced that it's going to work against them. They're that afraid of this monster government of ours. And there's nobody they can turn to. And one of the things that's really happening that's kind of good right now up in Alaska, that state never has had sheriffs. And as it turns out, some of the people that I'm associated with, and I'll be on a phone call with here shortly, actually, after I leave this show, they are working heavily in the Constitution Party up there. And they're looking to get something like 10% of the vote. Well, if they get over 3 or 4% of the vote in this next election, they will be considered a major party in the state. And one of the things that that group is, some of it's associated with it, is working on is a ballot initiative to get sheriffs instated in Alaska. If there had been a sheriff in a county, which up there they don't call them counties, I think they're boroughs, but if there had been a sheriff there that Schaefer could have gone to and put a stop to the intrusion of these federal thugs coming in and framing him, that a sheriff would have been his last great defense and could have put a stop to what was going on. But since there was no sheriff there, no constitutional sheriff, he had absolutely no protection or no help from anywhere outside of his little circle, which they infiltrated. But his appeal is coming along. We believe that he's going to get an extension. We believe we're going to raise enough funds that Robert John, who is an excellent attorney and friend of Schaefer's at this point, friend of mine too at this point, is going to be able to work on that appeal. He is an excellent appellate attorney. Would love to see that whole thing be able to be done under common law, but very, very difficult to bring him up to snuff. He tried some things not knowing really any better than he did. He was, working off of poor information, really, like most of us have in the past. And it wasn't very effective for him, probably worked against him. So at this point, I believe the best route is to get Robert John, this attorney who is very much in favor of the common law, by the way. He loves to have conversations with us and learn about it because, he believes in it too, even though he has to act as an officer of the court, which the courts don't like this common law very well because it shuts them down. It stops their game. But that's what's going on with Schaefer, and hopefully here in the next 60 to 90 days, we're going to see some progress in his appeal. That's the best report I can give you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very sad, and what I can only hope is that the feds keep making mistakes, because that was a mistake. And one way or another, I know you're going to help Schaefer get out of there. So I just wish you Godspeed and all of that, and best of luck. Shifting now very deliberately, I wanted you to talk about this time period and the blood moons that we're experiencing, and in particular in relation to this end times that I do think that we are in. Like you said earlier, people think an earthquake happens and oh, it's the end times, but there are other signs that show it. One of which, of course, is all the confusion, and as Robert McCurry so eloquently said, and you pointed out in one of the blog posts, that who could have caused the demise of America so quickly? It has to be Satan. Could you comment on any of that that interests you, rather than trying to explain everything like I always ask you to do in 5 minutes or less?
Well, I think it's good for people to look at scripture on this. In the book of Joel, 2:10, it mentions it. 2:31 is a more clear mention of the darkening of the sun and the turning the moon into blood. You'll find it in Acts chapter 2, verse 20. I'll just read that real quick. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and splendid day of Yahweh, meaning the second coming of Yahshua, actually, is what that's a reference to, our Savior. It says that these things will happen before he comes. And it's interesting, you'll look out there right now, and you'll go on the Internet and do a search of this, and you'll find people saying, is he going to be a second coming during this blood moon? Well, there's four blood moons. This is the second of a series of four. We got two this year and two next year, and they're on high days according to the appointed times in Leviticus 23. These blood moons are occurring, and so is the solar eclipse in the spring of 2015. We also have a solar eclipse, so we've got both of these predictions, these prophetic warnings, if you will, happening on the days of these appointed times, according to Yahweh's appointed times. So this could be, this won't happen again for many years to come, by the way. So this could be a sign that we are approaching the day of Yahweh, which, we all pray will come soon, because, we're kind of tired of this corrupted world, and we know that we've got a better place to be in his presence after that. So I certainly look forward to this. I find it to be an exciting time because here we are really in a tribulation for sure. I don't think there's any doubt that we are in a time of tribulation. I think that we've had other times of tribulation according to the scripture, but I believe that this acceleration of this persecution of the church and the confusion that's going on out there, even in the organized religious groups, I see this time as a time that we need to not be apathetic, that we need to be working and bringing people to an understanding that they've got to fight for this proper pecking order of having our Creator at the top of that pecking order. And as I wrote in there, those that are not watchful, that are apathetic, that are not really paying attention and not working and keeping His truth and His law and His word, are going to get caught like a thief in the night. And it's interesting that in Revelations 3, that it specifically talks about that, as well as some of these other things that are happening that are going on right now, really. But so Revelation 6:12 is where most people think of this prophecy that I mentioned is also in Joel and in Acts. And 6:12 says, And I looked when he opened the sixth seal and saw a great earthquake came to be, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of the Shamayim fell to the earth. It goes on, and I believe I'm trying to remember exactly where that was that I brought out the part in the apathy. It seems like it's actually before that. It might be back in 3:12, I believe it is, 3, maybe even 3:2. It says, "Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete before Elohim. Remember then how you have received and heard, and watch and repent. If then you do not wake up, I shall come upon you as a thief, and you shall not know at all what hour I come upon you."
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty clear to me. It says to me that you don't have to be caught as a thief, like a thief in the night. You have every opportunity here to watch for these signs. You have every opportunity to stay in His Word. You have every opportunity to see it coming and to not be caught flat-footed. But it means that you can't be apathetic. You can't be ignoring the fact that we're in a spiritual battle.
Right. Just waiting for him to return. That's not the way it is. We are called to do His work, I believe, and called to make a record, and called to continue to teach through our actions and through our words. And that's why in terms of the work that I'm doing right now, I feel like that's all part of this. That sure, we want Him to come back because we don't have to deal with any of this stuff anymore, but we have to, and that's it. And so it's very interesting. I talk with members of my family, and they all say, "Yeah, it's always been this way before. There's nothing different about this time." And they don't see the things that I see or hear the things that I hear. So anyway. I know that you have to get ready for your next call, and I just want to thank you so much for joining me on this first returned evening of Dr. Kate's Revolution Radio, Constitutional Governance, and I wish you a speedy evening, and I will see you on Thursday night.
Well, Dr. Kate, I'm really glad to see you back on here. I think that what we're doing is very important, and what you're doing now is very important. I really appreciated your post at Dr. Kate's View online, folks, the listeners. If you haven't been to Dr. Kate's View, one of the things that I found over the past 4 or 5 years is that if you want to know what's going on, you can go there, and usually anything that's important out there that's going on, anything that's happening, it's current news, somebody's going to post it there, somebody's going to bring it out, it's going to be discussed. And you don't have to turn on the television set to find out what the most important thing is that's going on. So a lot of good truth there, good people, good association of bloggers. And Kate, I commend you for your work there, and keep spreading the truth, because that's what we got to do, and I believe that's the work that is most important right now. And just thanks for having me on tonight with you to celebrate your return here.
Thank you very much, Terry. Have a wonderful evening and good call, and best of luck.
You too. Good night.
Thank you. Night. Well, everyone, that was my colleague and friend and co-host of Dr. Kate's Revolution Radio, Walls in Our Minds. It's a terrific show that Red Beckman is always on, and it does, as he says, a lot of educational work up and about, and right on the edge of the spiritual battle here. I'm going to read something to you and then take a little music break, and then come back in a minute. This is from Robert McCurry, editor and publisher of the Wake Up Herald, which is a terrific daily newsletter that comes over the internet. And this is written October 5th, 2014, and it starts out by saying, "Guess what, America? America's decline of the past 10 years has been spectacular. Economically, politically, morally and ethically, culturally, religiously, we are barely a shadow of our once great selves. Today we sustain the dream with $85 billion monthly of Federal Reserve funny money used to buy our bonds and recycled into welfare and other government spending." Notice that I did not include America's military in our decline. That has yet to come. But its fall will even be more spectacular than those elements of society that preceded it, and completely devastating. NSA's domestic spying apparatus indicates that the people in government do not trust the citizens they work for. Indeed, the ruling elite turned the military's attention inward. This should terrify any thinking American who values a less tyrannical government than, say, the East German Stasi under the communists. Those of you who are not doing anything wrong, quote-unquote, will, of course, be able to change your eye skin, your eye color, your skin color, parents' surnames, religious practices, and political voting record to conform to the ruling elite's perception of reality, and thereby remain free of persecution and multiple government prosecutions of newly invented hate crimes. Won't you? So it's easy to see that Satan is responsible for America's downfall, isn't it? I mean, here we were, just minding our own business, and wham! Who else could bring about the dramatic downfall of such a rich and powerful nation as America? The Christian churches upon whose faith America was built, of course, resisted. They spoke with a united voice across denominational lines about the evils of abortion, euthanasia, sexual degeneracy, redefined marriage, welfare dependency, fatherless children, inner-city gang violence, and undeclared wars abroad. And they suggested that Christians strongly consider the statements of those they elected to office regarding these evils. They did that, didn't they? From Revelation 3:14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would not thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that which thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." Well, of course, that couldn't be the American church God is describing here at the end of time, could it? Or maybe we didn't do so good, after all. maybe we fit right in with the rest of the American culture. God says, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. Spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delight not. Guess what, America? Your demise is being orchestrated by God. Proverbs 1. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. I would add Revelations 3, verse 2 and 3. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete before Elohim. Remember then how you have received and heard, and watch and repent. If then you do not wake up, I shall come upon you as a thief, and you shall not know it at all what hour I come upon you. This is no time for apathy. This is no time for not paying attention. This is no time for just sitting down. I'm going to take a short music break right now. I'll be back in a few minutes. Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for listening. I'm going to be closing this show a little bit early this evening with, again, some music and so forth, but I wanted to just sort of lay out that, number one, the increasing pace of the things that are happening to us. We've got Ebola, we've got irrigation. That's on my mind. Immigration. We've got the police state, we've got NSA, we've got Obama playing golf and saying all these ridiculous things. We've got a Congress that refuses to recognize we've got a usurper in the White House. We've got wars and rumors of wars. We've got disease, pestilence, tornadoes. Every tornado that happens in Oklahoma exceeds the wind speed record of every tornado in the world. You're beginning to see that everywhere. You have, a resident of the White House ordering our troops to their certain deaths, eliminating our abilities to do anything. And we have these, faint efforts of disagreement with the president and, people speaking out of turn. But by and large, no one is doing anything. And it comes back to ourselves. And again, it comes back to where our faith is rooted in. It is so easy now to, if you're involved in some issues, notice the egos, notice the jealousy, notice the things that are happening around us that are producing confusion. Satan is having a field day. And because he knows his time is short. And that is the subject of my latest blog post, Satan Knows His Time is Short. That's on drkatesview.wordpress.com. I encourage you to go take a look at that and also the dialogue that's there. We have a lot of, not a whole lot of readers, but we have some excellent information being proposed there. And what I can hope for, at least in the own work that I do, is our opposition, those who are advancing Satan's word, keep making mistakes. Because they are making mistakes, and that's what you hope for. You continue to pray for your own salvation and remember who the Lord really is and remember about how we move forward. There are things that are necessary to do. There are things that we can do, and we must pay attention to seeing the world from a different view right now. Put on the whole armor of God. Dust that Bible off. Read through it. Read it every day. Find out what is going on and our place. Listen to the words of wisdom. Know about folly. Know about the Pharisees. Know about Satan's chosen, who they are. So, with that in mind, I want to wish you a great evening. I'll be back in 2 weeks, 7 to 8:30 again on a Tuesday. You'll get notices. Please listen to the archives. Please don't forget Walls in Our Minds, which is going to be always on Thursday nights from 7 to 9 Mountain Time. And we wish you a good evening, Godspeed, and amazing grace. Good night.
From